Lala, I have a suggestion. Since we all know how to sing this song before, but suddenly we all forgot. So let's practice it maybe for the whole October until everybody knows how to sing it out loud. Yeah. So today's scripture reading is in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. If you have a Bible, it's on page 691. Again, Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, the body more than the clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, when in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And now we have Pastor Thomas Chen to give us the sermon today.
Speak from there or here? It's not right here. All right.
Yes. Let me.
Oh, me. Yeah. All right. Cool. Great. Hey, good morning. How's everybody? Good. Good. It's been a while since I've been here. I'm not sure if the last time I was here we were in this room or not. But I have been in this church building. Maybe a few years ago, we had our son in your VBS. This is a while back. Some of you, I think most of you, maybe some of you know my dad. I think he's helped out with his church, or he still does. He still does. Present tense, right? He's still helping. Yeah, so I'm his son. Obviously, I'm my dad's son. Yeah, that's what happens. Yeah, and so it's a privilege for me to be here. So thank you for inviting me to come here this morning. So my name is Thomas Chen, just to give you a little intro of myself. And I have a wife, and one wife and two kids, not the other way around. My son is 8, his name is Corey. My daughter is, our daughter is Corinne, she's 5, so 8 and 5. So nice little cute, adorable, crazy kids we have. I grew up in San Jose. I grew up pretty much locally here, born in Taiwan. Yeah, Taiwan. Church. Came over when I was 6 years old, and our family started going to church ever since I guess I was little. The first church I went to was a Taiwanese church. It was Canaan Taiwanese Church. That's where I learned about Jesus, and yeah, so much more. But yeah, that's kind of a brief intro to my life. I don't know what else do you want to know. My favorite color is black. My I don't know. Favorite number is 21. I don't know. I like to eat. I love to eat. I don't know what else. I like shopping too. I'm not the typical guy. I'm not as crazy about sports and cars and stuff. But I do enjoy shopping and talking about feelings. Yeah, I'm getting more into sports lately, a little bit more. Anyway, so like I said, privileged to be here. But let me pray for us. God, I thank you, Lord, for this morning and just always being with us and always guiding us and being the Lord of our lives. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just guide us this morning as we look into your word. May you speak to us. What it is that you want us to learn and to grow in this morning. God, we thank you. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, so I'm sure that all of us here, if not most of us, have something in our lives that we're worried about. It could be anything. I think it could be something huge, something like life direction maybe, or it could be something small. Some of you maybe were worried that your speaker wouldn't show up this morning. I apologize, I did show up like at 10:30, so that, you know, as a speaker, I guess maybe show up a little earlier so people won't worry about that. But I'm here. I'm here. I'm worried a little bit this morning about speaking from this device here. Okay, you see my iPad here. This is the first time I've ever done this in my life. I'm trying out here. Simply because I've always preached from paper, and it's always served me well, and I still want to do that. But the last whole week, I was not in the office, so I did not get a chance to get that manuscript to the sermon. And so I was like, what was I going to do? I'm going to, you know, drive to the office, come back here and pick it up. Or I could kind of catch up to the technology of today and try to speak from an iPad. Which some pastors do, but for me, I get a little anxious about that because you never know. Paper won't shut off on you, okay? But a device will. So if it happens to, like, just start over, I might just pause and have a little prayer time or something. But I do have a backup. I do have it on here, too. Hopefully in here as well. But anyway, so a little anxious about that. There's some things we're, like, worried about. You could probably relate to that. I think a lot of us here, if you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm worried, I'll just bring this up. What about the state of the country? Oh, now everybody can relate now, right? Oh, man. Now I'm worried. Now we know what worry is. Okay. Now we know what anxiety is. It's that feeling of uneasiness, right? Because something is not certain. You don't know what's about to come. So you think about a potential issue or potential problems, and you're like, oh, my goodness, you can't even, like, think about that because it just brings you this unease about this imminent event that's about to take place. Or a lot of times it's about something that may not even ever happen again or ever happen at all, right? And you're worried about that because you're like, I don't know, I'm in control of it, and I don't like that feeling, but I just can't help it. Because in some sense, I feel like by worrying, I have some sort of grasp or control of it. But we don't like that feeling. And then our worry, our anxiety brings about other issues. Really, a lot of things that we do, a lot of things that causes problems and like hurts, whether it be hurting ourselves or hurting other people, are caused by these anxieties, or caused by these worries that are deep within us that make us try to take things in our own hands. For example, anxiety about life direction, that could paralyze you, right? It can make you like paralyzed in life and not really do anything. It can make you depressed. Anxiety about relationships can make you withdrawn or, you know, make you isolated, or it can make you too dependent on certain people. I mean, it could come out in many different forms. That's what I'm saying. And so if it's true that anxiety and worry gives rise to all these negative actions and attitudes and things that aren't healthy, well, wouldn't it be great if you and I could just conquer anxiety, right? If you and I could just deal with the worry and get rid of it. You deal with anxiety, then you deal with all the other issues, right? It makes sense, right? You don't have the worry, you don't have the anxiety, then you don't have all the other things that comes out of that. So what do we do? How do we do that? What do we do with our worry? What do you and I do with our worry? How do we stop worrying? Now, today's text that you read already, it follows a couple of passages that Jesus talks about. And he focuses, he has this theme, or he talks about this idea of heavenly treasures. That is to focus on the things of heaven, focus on the things that are not of this world, but rather things that are of eternity, versus the things here and now. So he's helping us have a perspective of look into eternity, look into what's valuable, and seek that, and not focus on the things here. And so, of course, if you were told by Jesus or someone to tell you, oh, don't focus on things here, what's our natural tendency? Our natural tendency, then, is to worry about the things here. It's like, well, you know, you're telling me not to look at the things here, but you don't understand I have my needs. You understand? I got to take care of the things here. This is what I see, right? I see my family. I see my friends. I see my job. I see my situation. You're telling me to focus not on this. You're telling me to focus on something I cannot see, okay? So, of course, I believe Jesus is really smart here, right? So he brings up this passage to help people to not worry, you know, you're worried about this, but don't worry. In fact, he has something to say to us, and he says this: look at the birds and the flowers. What in the world is Jesus talking about? Look at the birds? Look at the flowers? What's he saying? Okay, we're going to look at that today. And how Jesus really, he doesn't just, you know, get to the surface. He gets to the root of it. He tries to get us to understand the root of our anxieties and how we can be freed from the worries of the world. Okay. So we're going to look at that today. It's Matthew chapter 6. If you haven't turned there, go ahead and turn there or use on your devices and go there. Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. We did read it. I'll give you a little more context here. this is the Sermon on the Mount. This is where Jesus gives a Sermon on the Mount, thus Sermon on the Mount. And he's talking about different things. He's talking about when you pray, when you fast, when you give to the needy. Do it in a way so that it's in a way that your Heavenly Father sees it, and to acknowledge that He sees it, and it's not for people to see. In other words, once again, the theme of doing it for eternal value, eternal rewards, and not doing it for the rewards of this earth. Okay, and he also talks about storing up treasures in heaven. He's talking about your eyesight. So your eyes are a lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, then your whole body is full of light. What he's saying is, fix your eyes on things that are eternal. What kind of eyesight do we have, right? We can't serve both God and money. Once again, God, eternity, money, now, right? Very much this now versus eternal contrast. And so here's the passage, and I was going to read it, but I don't feel like I need to because we just read it. But I will go over this passage. And I want you to, as you look at this passage, kind of just skim over that and look for the word worry. Or in your maybe translations, it's anxiety. Okay, similar, basically same thing. And notice how many times in this text that Jesus tells us, "Do not worry," or "Do not be anxious." How many times? I mean, you look at verse 25. "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life." Okay, he goes on, verse 27. "Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Verse 28. "Why do you worry about clothes?" Verse 31. "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?" Verse 34, "Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow." Okay, you get the point. There's a lot of times in this passage where he tells us, do not worry. Okay, what is worry? What is this anxiety? It's meant, as I mentioned, it's this nervousness, uneasiness. I think most of us, I mean, we know the feeling. We understand what it is, kind of, you know, because we felt it. It's like I said, it could be about something that's about to come or something that may never come, but your mind is dwelling on it, on the uncertainty, right? It's not certain. And so because it's not certain, it brings about these uneasy feelings, okay? The word worry actually comes from the old English word to choke, right? To actually choke. I hope you don't choke anybody or you ever get choked, but the feeling of being choked is not a good feeling, I'll just tell you, right? Like it's, because you're getting suffocated, right? You're getting strangled. And the Greek word is actually divided mind. That is to be pulled in different directions, right? You understand? Like, you know, you when you worry about something, you're anxious about something, you're like, okay, I know I should do this, or I know I could go on and do this, but then you're pulled in this other direction. Another voice maybe telling you can't do it, or you're going to fail, or you're going to get rejected. So you're just pulled in different directions. Because here's the truth, but then here's a lie, and then you don't know what to believe. You're anxious about stuff. For example, let's see. Okay, so recently I actually just came back from being on a boat. Okay, so I kind of still feel like on a boat. It's weird. But I just came back from a cruise, which is awesome. You've ever been on a cruise before? But I took our family to a cruise, like 4-day cruise kind of thing. They had the week off, so we just decided to do that. And before the cruise, before we got on the boat, like right before, right, on my Facebook feed, right, that's where I get my news, right? On my Facebook feed, I see this article somebody from LA or something posted, because we were in the LA waters over there, posted about how, like, there's going to be an earthquake or something, or there's a big chance of an earthquake this week. And so, of course, I'm like, that's not good, okay? I don't want to be on the Titanic, right? Man, like on this cruise ship that's gonna like sink, and I've seen the movie. I don't want that to happen to me, because I'm gonna be in the water. My kids are gonna be on the boat. Anyway, and I'm just like, I'm worried, right? And it's like, oh, you know, there's earthquakes, and of course, I've seen enough like disaster movies to know that, you know, when there's an earthquake, then there's tsunamis, right? And I'm like, I don't want to be on a boat in the water when there's a tsunami. I don't wake up going, I want to be in a tsunami, right? I just don't. And so I'm like, what do we do? And should we go on this cruise or not? I don't know. You know what I mean? Like those type of thoughts just come into your mind and you start thinking the worst and you're like, I don't know, we should do this, but I really want to eat the food. So I'm still going to go. So we end up going anyway. But you know what I mean? Like just one little post that somebody posted about this, you know, the chances of having an earthquake down in LA, it's going to be bigger this, you know, and it just caused me to worry. Now, I don't want you to think about this. Like, obviously, I'm here this morning, okay? I think you would have worried if I died and I wouldn't be here, then who's going to speak today, right? But, like, think about this. Like, if, okay, first of all, it didn't happen, obviously. We were safe. So what did the worrying do? Did it do anything? Right? Did it help me? Did it make the situation better? Was it like because I worried, then all of a sudden the waves stopped? You know what I mean? Like, and the earthquake stopped. I mean, it didn't do anything. That's my point. But, you know, kind of be sick right now and think about, what if it did happen? Okay? If actually there was an earthquake and it sunk the boat, we all died. Like, what did my worry do? Would it have changed the situation at all? Even then, what I'm saying, even then, it wouldn't have had, it wouldn't have any effect, right? It wouldn't do anything. So I want us to think, like, when you and I worry about something, we really think we can change the outcome sometimes, right? Or we feel like we can, or we feel like I have control at least. But does it really do anything, right? If it doesn't come, if that thing you're worried about doesn't happen, then I've just wasted all these moments and all these hours of my day being consumed by a thought of a potential something that has never occurred. Do you know what I mean? So that's a waste of time. But what if I was worrying about something that is going to happen and does happen? Well, does the worrying do anything? It was going to happen anyway. That's the point. Okay? And Jesus gets to that later. He talks about that. See, worry is defined or has been defined as, and I like this, it says, a small trickle of fear that meanders through the mind until it cuts a channel into which all thoughts are drained. And it gives us this tunnel vision. It gives us this, like, that's all I can see, and that's all I'm consumed by. Now, in this context, Jesus has just talked about storing up treasures on earth, or he's talked about not storing up treasures on earth, but rather storing up treasures in heaven. Okay. Now, what causes us to store treasures on earth? If you think about it, is it not worry? Is it not just, I don't know if I'll have enough? Or I don't know if my family will be taken care of, or our future will be secure. I don't know if I'll be able to have this house or have this lifestyle. So I need to store up these treasures here, right, in order to get that. I don't know. You know, it's these worries that cause that, if you think about it. Is it not being overly concerned, preoccupied with what we'll eat, what we'll drink, what we'll wear, as Jesus says here? If we'll have enough, or we'll be taken care of, if I'll be happy, if I'm going to live the life that I wanted, you know, the American dream. If I'm not secure, right, think about it. If I am not secure about my needs being taken care of, what am I going to do? I'm going to do what it takes to make myself feel secure, right? You're feeling insecure, you want to feel secure, okay? And so that's what's going to happen. In other words, I'm going to do what it takes for me to feel safe and secure and comfortable in this world, right? And that's what we get caught up in doing. The world, I mean, think about it. The world has many ways to counterfeit security, doesn't it? The world will promise you things. The world will show you and make you think, wow, these people have it all. And they're comfortable. They're great. And all I need to do is to do what they did, right? Make more money, of course. Get more things. Buy into more things. Man, that person with the iPhone 7 Plus, you know, that person is happy, right? And it's that device that makes them happy, so I need to get one of those, right? And then you get it and go, yeah, I'm happy for a day when I'm playing with it, and it breaks. No, I don't know. And it's just like, oh, the next upgrade, and it's A Plus. So, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not happy anymore, right? We get caught up in the world's counterfeit security, really, and comfort. In other words, we start serving money. Yeah, that's what Jesus is talking about. He's serving money, the things of this world, and think it'll buy anything we want. And don't get me wrong, money buys things, obviously, right? You use money to buy things, food, clothes, drinks, house, you know, wherever you live and all that stuff, right? And it can make more money too. But we think that money is actually the solution. You understand? There's a difference between, like, okay, using money to buy things, sure. But it's another thing if we think money is the actual solution to our problems. Okay, that's the idea. And of course then, life becomes about these very things that we worry about and that we get consumed by. And so we worry about it. And what does Jesus say here? Look at verse 25. He says, don't worry about your life. He says, don't worry what you'll eat or what you'll drink or about your body, what you will wear. He asks this question. He says, is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? What does he mean? What he's saying is your body and your life is more than food or clothes. That's what he's getting at. When he asks those questions, he's basically implying and telling you, your body and your life is more, right? Is not your life more than all these things? It's more than being fed and having clothes. Yes, is it not true that you and I get fed in life? Yeah. Is it not true that we got to eat, we got to wear clothes? Okay, yeah. You know, and we need to breathe the air on all that? Sure. But is that all life is? Do we live to eat? I guess I did this past week. I lived to eat. I just ate. But is that what, but is that what life boils down to, right? Is that all it is, right? Okay. Is it all just about those very things? When we worry about those things, our life becomes about the very things that we worry about. Okay. It does, right? It consumes you. You understand what I'm saying? Worrying narrows life, right? Those who serve money, those of us who serve money, we seek earthly treasure, the things here. We bought into the lie that our lives are about those very things, okay? Food and clothes and all these things. And basically seeking and pursuing what God has and will provide for us anyway. Right? God's going to take care of us, maybe. Verse 26, this is where we get to the birds, okay? He says, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And he talks about birds, and of course, the people back in the day, they seen birds, okay? The birds existed before, you know? And birds, right? You think about birds. Just think about birds. I don't know how many times you think about birds, but think about birds this morning, okay? They get together. You think they get together, and they scheme. They plan together, right? They're like, have a strategy. How do we stay alive? We should do this, chirp, chirp, chirp. Of course, all chirp, chirp, chirp to us, but they're actually talking, right? Like in the movies. And so they're chirping, and they're like, okay, you know, what should we do, chirp, chirp? You know, and they strategize, they plan, and then they kind of worry if they have enough to eat. I don't think they do that. They don't have this, I guess, self-consciousness or ability to reason. They don't. I mean, the Bible says they do not sow or reap or store away in the barns. So what do? How do they live? They just do it, right? They just live, right? They just are. That's it. It's as simple as that. They just live. They take it a moment at a time, okay? Here's a tree. I'm just going to go to it, right? And they just go with it. And the thing is, look, it says, your heavenly Father feeds them. He feeds them. They're taken care of. They're fed. And the thing is that's not even the point. The punchline is this. It's, are you not much more valuable than they? That really is the punchline, right? Look, he's saying, look at the birds. They don't plan, they don't worry, they don't get anxious about stuff, and yet your Heavenly Father takes care of them, right? But here's the point. You are much more valuable to Him than they are. So if they're being taken care of by the Heavenly Father, and you are much more valuable than they, what's the point? How much more will He take care of you? Okay? That's Jesus' point. It's a lesser to greater argument. Okay, in verse 27, then, it says, well, can any of you really, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? You ever tried doing that? Right? Don't do that. You waste it, right? Like, I'm trying to add a single hour to my life by worrying an hour. You just wasted that hour. Okay? You can't do it. Another translation of this also, like, can you add a stature to your life? It's kind of the sense of, can you get taller, right? Something I worry about before is like, oh, I'm worried I'm too short, but that never gotten me taller. Okay? If it has, I would tell you. It's like, that works, right? You get taller, just worry about it. You get taller. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. In verse 28 says, and why do you worry about clothes? And here's where we get the flowers. It says, see how the flowers of the field grow. Okay? We got some flowers right there. I know you put it there just for today, right? And there's no birds, but I see a fly flying around. Okay, but there's a flower. Okay? Look at the flowers of the field. Pretty, by the way. Is that real? It's real. It's a real orchid right there. Oh, okay, they don't labor or spin. Do you see it laboring or spinning? No, it doesn't. It's not hard at work. It's not like, oh, I need to make myself beautiful today for Sunday morning. You know, they're not looking in the mirror going, oh, how do I, you know, dress myself, put on purple makeup and white sprinkled makeup, whatever. You know, they don't do that. And Jesus says, yet, I tell you, not even Solomon. He brings up Solomon. Solomon had riches. He had a lot of splendor, right? He says even Solomon in all his splendor, not even he was dressed like one of these. Okay? Not even he was. Same thing. Flowers don't labor. They just are. They just grow. They just do their thing. They're just pretty, right? And not even Solomon with all his riches and splendor was dressed like one of these. You get the picture? And he's saying you are much more than flowers. Okay? You are so much more valuable to God than those beautiful flowers that he dresses. So how much more will he clothe you? That's what he's saying. How much more will he take care of you? God created us in his image. We are much, much more valuable to him than any of his other creation. If you think about it, that's crazy. And so if he takes care of the creation, he not only creates it, but sustains it. How much will he sustain us, the ones whom he has created in his image? Right? So your life has to be more. My life has to be more than about clothes and about food and what we wear. It has to. Right? Because if these plants and all these different things, that's all their life is about, we're much more than they. Our life has to be more than about those things. And if we're worrying about what birds and flowers don't even worry about in our lives, then there's really something off about that. Okay. Now, verse 30, it says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which really here is today, you know, and tomorrow's thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Now, throughout this passage, and especially building up to this verse, Jesus is getting to the root of it. I believe Jesus is getting to the root of anxiety. And the root of anxiety, really, if you think about it, is lack of faith, right? It's lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. I don't believe, God, that you'll take care of me. I don't believe that I'm worth it to you. I don't believe I'm more valuable to you than any other things that you created. We don't believe that. And so, of course, then our life is going to be about those very things that we chase after because we don't think we're going to get taken care of. We don't think our needs will be taken care of. So I have to take care of myself. Right, deep down, is lack of faith that God, or you know, that this big God who's created me is going to take care of me. And so anxiety then gives rise to harmful attitudes, negative actions, all that stuff. But beneath anxiety is unbelief. Okay, unbelief. Now look at verse 31, 33, and I want to ask yourself, do I really believe this? All right, like for me to look at this, verse 31 to 33 is like, do I really believe this? This is what Jesus is saying to me today, right? Thomas, right? So do not worry saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows. He knows. He knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Okay? Do I really believe that? Don't worry, what shall I drink or wear? He says the pagans, and in your translation that I just read, the Gentiles, and that really is representation of like the world. It's like, you know, they run after those things. And you think about it, that's what the world does run after because that's all that they have, really. If they don't have a Heavenly Father, and they don't have this relationship with God, and trust this God to take care of them, really, then they're taking care of themselves, right? And so, of course, they will chase after their very things to take care of them themselves. And so you look at the world, what the world chases after, that we often get caught up in, right? Money, success, fame, whatever you name it, okay? Security, all those things. That's because it makes sense. Of course, if I do not have a Heavenly Father taking care of me, of course I'll chase after those things as well because I need to be taken care of and somebody's got to take care of me, okay? But you and I are different, are we not? You and I are not. That's his point. You are not like the pagan world. You are not of this world. You are of him. You have a Father in heaven taking care of you. And so that's why you and I then, in verse 33, he says, then you and I can seek after his kingdom. I can seek after God's kingdom. I can look into eternity and see the unseen and be after heavenly rewards that Jesus has been talking about because you and I are part of God's family. And if I believe that he can take care of me, that he will, I could be freed from the worries of this world and really seek after his kingdom. See, sometimes, you know, people come to this verse, seek after his kingdom, all these things will be given to you as well. It's like, right? There's a sense of, like, unbelief there sometimes, right? Now, I'll admit it. It's like, really? Will he really take care of me with everything, right? Does he really know all the needs that are there? And, you know, okay, I'll trust God here, but in other areas, I'll take care of it, right? You know, God, just let me take care of that because I don't know if you got that, right? There's unbelief there. But really, do I trust that God, who sees me as valuable, will take care of me? And I am freed to be about what he's about. I could be about what he's about. You know, the thing is, it's not about It's not a matter of whether you have needs or not. We all do, and God knows that. We do, okay? Not denying that. But what is my perspective about those needs? And where do I put my faith? Is it in those very things, or is it in the Father who will take care of me? And all I need to do is preoccupy myself with what he's about, okay? Now, there's no doubt from this passage that we've read and gone through, you know, that you and I are to be free from worry and anxiety. Like, Jesus' intention for us, life to the full, life in abundant, is not to be lived in worry. Okay, well, I think that's clear, that Jesus doesn't want us to worry. And the way to get to the root of it is to believe in the Word of God, right? To believe what he says about who we are, and about who he is, and how who we are in light of who he is, and who we are to him, is really to believe that. And what he says, even right here in this passage, that your life is more than food and clothes, and you are much more valuable than birds and flowers. Right? You are much more valuable to God, and all we need to do then is to be freed from all those things, and really to be freed from all these things is to trust that our Heavenly Father will take care of us, that he's got our back. He's got my back. And the question really is not if we deal with anxiety, it's when we deal with anxiety, right? How we deal with anxiety and worry. I don't want you guys to, this morning, worry that you're worrying, okay? I mean, it happens, right? You're probably worried now, like, oh, what does this mean about my faith and my salvation? Don't worry about it, right? Look at Burns Flowers once again. If you worry, okay, sure, you know, there could be, yeah, definitely, like I said, a sense of, like, you know, unbelief and all that. But really, for those of us who have faith, if you think about it, we will worry. Why? Because Satan will attack you, okay? The fact that you are tripping up in a race, right? If you're running a race and you're tripping up, it shows that you are in a race. What I'm saying is, if you and I are getting tripped up in life, that means someone is against us. That means someone's trying to get you to not finish the race. Understand? And so the fact that you and I sometimes believe lies. Sometimes I believe the lie that my worth is based on how I parent my kids. I believe that lie all the time, by the way. And I get tripped up. There's moments on that cruise, by the way, I got so mad at my kids. You know, I mean, there's time that comes up because I believe the lie that they're a reflection of my worth. And so I believe that and I get tripped up. And rather than being hard on myself, going, oh, I'm such a terrible person, oh, I'm such a horrible father, I fail. Rather, it's like, you know what? Satan really wants to attack me. He's trying to get me to believe those lies. And you know what? I'm in this race. And God wants to continue to whisper his truth or tell me his truth, that I am more worth it to him than anything else. And so I'll be okay if my kids yell at me back. It's okay. No, it's okay. I'll deal with it. But, you know, it's okay in terms of my security and my worth. You understand? And so what I'm saying is, just because you're getting attacked by Satan, right, with all these lies and stuff, does not mean you're not a Christian, okay? Maybe it means you are a Christian, right? Maybe it means because you are trying to run this race and he's just trying to trip you up. In fact, when it says you have little faith, when Matthew uses this expression, he uses it a few more times. It's always used of disciples, right? It's not saying you have no faith. It's like you have little faith. That means you can grow in that, okay? And it's always used when they're failing to believe that they'll be taken care of. So, once again, how do we deal with anxiety? Battling unbelief, okay? Meditating, that's why, like, for a while now, I always thought meditating on God's word, why do you do that, you know? Like, but really, it makes sense. The more you meditate on something, the more that becomes, like, a part of you. I don't know, there are times when, like, my kids will sing a silly kid song, and that song will be in my head all day, right? Because it's just, like, it's just going. And so it's like that. When you have God's word speaking and it's kind of going in your head, that becomes like truth. It's like, oh, yeah, you know, you're getting reminded that, yeah, God is good. Yeah, you're getting reminded that God will take care of things and that I'm valuable to him. And I can seek after his kingdom and could break free from my addiction to the earth treasures, but really to focus on the heavenly treasures that he has for me. Okay. So let me ask you, okay, this morning, what are you worried about right now? What are you and I worried about right now, like this moment, okay? Just think of something. I mean, I know there could be many things, but what are you right now at this instant worried about? Just something. Now, I want you to think about that, and I want you to think, what is the unbelief there? Okay, what is the unbelief? In other words, what is the lie that's being told you? Okay, I gave you an example of, for me, like I said, for me, everyday thing is my kids, right, for me. And my... Sometimes I worry, right? I worry how they'll turn out, or I worry if you know, I'm going to mess them up, right? Or I've messed them up already. And I worry about all these different things. And unbelief is my worth is wrapped up in that. Like, I am worth how I parent. I'm worth how they treat me, right? That's the unbelief or the lie, okay? So what is it for you? What is underneath that? And then what is the truth of God that speaks against that, right? What is the truth of God that speaks to that, right? The truth of God that says you are worth much more to him. That your security in him, your worth, your significance in him is more than all those things, maybe. Okay? So think about that. Verse 34 says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worry about self. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Is that not true, right? Each day has enough. Really, we don't have to add more to it. We have enough trouble of its own. Why worry about something tomorrow when, you know, let tomorrow take care of itself? It's too much stuff to worry about already. Here's a quote that I really like. Worry is the advance interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. Okay? Worry is the advance interest you pay on troubles that seldom come. And we think about the many times that we worry. Most of the times they actually don't happen. How often do we worry about that? Worry, maybe, is not the result of too much thinking. Sometimes I want to tell people, man, you think too much, right? Some people who worry all the time, right? You're like, you think too much. You're so analytical, right? You just think too much. Stop thinking. Maybe it's not the result of too much thinking. Perhaps it's the result of too little thinking in the right direction. Okay? Maybe it's not having right thinking. The right thinking that says, I have faith and trust that God will take care of me. That I am so valuable to him. And the more I think about that, the less I'll think about other things. The less I'll have to think about other things. The less I'll worry. So that's why when you and I worry, it's not as simple as someone just telling you don't worry, right? A lot of times when people just tell me don't worry, it's like, oh, but you don't understand. This is why I'm worried. And I start listing off reasons why I'm worried. And that other person will go, I get it. I would worry too, right? It's like, yeah, okay. That makes sense. But so it doesn't make sense to just say don't worry. I'm glad Jesus doesn't just stop there. Rather, you know, he says, think about the birds and flowers, okay? So remember something, think about the birds and flowers. If you go out today, it's a beautiful day. There are probably birds out there and flowers in here too. They're everywhere. And as you see them, I want you guys to think about this passage and what God is really trying to say to us, right? Look at the plants out there. Look at the birds. I can't look out there, but I can look over there, right? Look at the trees and all that stuff. God not only created it, God sustains it. How much more valuable I am than that? Man, and just start basking in that truth. And just like, wow. And you go out to the beach and oceans, even grander sands, and you go, wow, I am more valuable to God than this whole thing. That is crazy. My life is more than all those things that I worry about. Rest in the promises of God. Dwell richly in his word that tells you about who you are in his family and how he values you and that you're more valuable to him than birds and flowers that he beautifully creates and sustains. Okay? So this morning, today, look at the birds and flowers. Okay, let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, for this truth. Because every time I look at this passage, it's a reminder to me to not think so much about the things here and now, even though they're right in front of me. And I know you understand. You understand with our limited vision and view, like we just get caught up. And I'm sure for some people here, some younger ones, it's about school tomorrow or the next day, you know, and just worry about stuff. You know, for some of us, it's about our jobs. Can we even, you know, hold this job, or is it something I even enjoy, or can I even find one? Or it's about our families and relationships and life and many different things, or church, ministry. That's a whole thing. God, I pray, Lord, that you help us to see with your perspective, that continually you'll speak to us through your word, just really about how much you value us and how we can look beyond the things of this world and look to the things of eternity and look through the eyes of faith and know that you will take care of us. All these things will be taken care of and we can seek after your kingdom. God, thank you for being a good God, a good Father that loves us so much. Thank you. In Jesus' name.